The days are longer, the calendar's filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grooms. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. So I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA, FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grooms.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
Secrets to success? No thanks. I'm Sally Christensen, and this is Work Friends, a podcast from Argent, a women's workwear brand. I sit down with the most remarkable women we know to share upfront and unfiltered career stories, the good, the bad, and the unapologetically ambitious. Because when you're among Work Friends, nothing's off the table. Listen and follow on all podcast platforms and subscribe to the Argent YouTube channel for video episodes. Plus, follow us on Instagram at Argent for all the latest.
Hello and welcome to another rousing edition of Trending Topics with BB. I am your humble host, Brooke Brown. Well, it's been a minute since I released a new episode, and I want to thank anybody that has wondered or is new to finding this podcast for your patience in a new release of an episode. I wanted to make sure that I had a wonderful guest, and it's taken time. I've had some personal life issues, so I haven't really been able to focus on the podcast, but I want to bring back new episodes. So I wanted to do so in bringing back a returning guest. But before I announce who my returning guest is on this episode, I have some updates concerning the website. You can still bookmark trendingtopicswithbbpodcast.com, but it has now been relocated to the main BB Media Industries website. There's a page on there that's now the new page for Trending Topics with BB to consolidate all of the links, as well as if you're just searching for anything having to do with Trending Topics with BB, you can also find it on Linktree. So if you go to Linktree and look up TT with BB, just like anywhere else on social media, you will find the link tree that links to all of the platforms where you can find this podcast, as well as the link directly to the podcast website page. So that is the update on the housekeeping. I just wanted to be able to consolidate all of the links and have one less website because it was confusing people. But again, this podcast can be found wherever you can find your podcasts. And along those lines, I do have another update to report. This podcast is no longer being hosted on Spotify Creators. They went through a lot of changes over the years. I'm not liking their platform. That's a personal decision on my end as the host, creator, and producer of this podcast. But I am now part of the Odyssey Creator Lab under the Odyssey Inc. of audio products. So nothing really has changed, just the RSS feed may have changed if you are a avid subscriber, and we'll see this update. So my guest coming up has been on this podcast before, as we talk about. It's been a couple of years, maybe 3 years, since he was on the podcast before. Denzo, he's a DJ, producer, also a sound engineer at the legendary Club Space in Miami. We go into depth a lot about Club Space in this episode, so without further ado, I give you my new episode with Denzo. Well, welcome back to my podcast, everybody. It's been a while, and I'm happy to bring back Denzo to the podcast. It's been how many years? Like 3, 4? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've missed you the last couple of years on Groove Cruise. So
yeah, it's kind of hard to get a day off on the weekends.
Gotcha.
But, you know, I've done like 8 years already, so.
Well, I'm going into my sixth, so yeah. It's Groove Cruise. All right. Well, I wanted to have you back on because you work at Space, and didn't Space get renovated recently?
Yeah. That's funny. So, we didn't talk about Space last time, no?
A little bit. We kind of went a little bit. For those that don't know, I've been to Miami a billion times, and I haven't been to Space.
Yeah, you're telling me. That is crazy.
And I never made it to Space. I've never been to Ibiza, so I didn't go to the old Space.
Yeah.
So
Space is like, it's like Mecca, you know?
I know.
You have to go.
Well, I tried this year when we got off the ship. Because I think James Hype was playing. Somebody was playing. And he was on the ship. And everybody was trying to get off the ship to go to Space. And I just hit a wall and I was like, nope, I'm going to go chill in my hotel room. So I never made it. Everybody that I've wanted to see at Space this year, I haven't been able to make it back out for. So.
Yeah, after the boat, you don't want to fucking do anything for like a week or two.
No, it's just recovery.
You just want to like hibernate.
Yeah, a bunch of people.
I don't want to go. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going straight home and sleeping for 12 hours. Huh?
Yeah, well, that's why I've always, the last, what, at least 3 or 4 years, mm-hmm. maybe more, I now book at least a day or two in Miami just for recovery before I even fly back here to Arizona. Because I'm like, that's just, that would,
I mean, yeah, you're in Miami.
Going there. Yeah, so it's like, but everybody was like, you should go to space too. Place. And I was like, no, I need a recovery.
Yeah, I'll say go before, yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about space, because I see videos, they look great, but I know there's more than just the main room at space. And I know a lot of people don't know that there was like a terrace and so like talk a little bit about like a little inside baseball about space, because as much as you can, because there's either people that love space or people that are like, oh, it's overrated. And I'm like, I still want to go. Mm. You know what I mean? So like,
it's overrated.
You think it's overrated?
No, it's not. No, of course it's not overrated.
Yeah.
I'm a little biased
still, but I mean, like,
you know,
yeah, I know. But the reason I'm asking this is because there's all these like new clubs, even new clubs that are just open in Ibiza, and like everybody's talking about Universe now and like how High and Ushuaia are doing. And it's like, well, is Ibiza like it used to be? A lot of people are saying it's not.
Okay. There's a lot of questions there.
Yeah.
So let's start. Yeah. Let's start with space.
Okay.
Okay. So there's the main room is the terrace.
Right.
Right. It's kind of like a dual main room venue. Right. I mean, it used to be like the main room was the inside room, but then it got so popular out the terrace that now it's like all the leading acts, they're on the terrace now. But then we have some acts that we just do only the inside room, which is called the ground, because their sound or vibe is more suited for like more, it has a more warehousey indoor vibe, you know?
Okay.
So that type of sound, like the harder techno acts and stuff like that, feels and sounds better inside the inside main room than is the terrace. But when it comes to big artists and stuff like that, they're usually going to be playing in on the terrace. And then they have the side room, which is my room, which is Floyd. Now, Floyd is like another thing. It's like a room in a room. Right?
That's awesome.
It's like a speakeasy inside space. So in that room is, it's a lot. It's like a 250-ish max venue, right? But what makes that place special is that it's more intimate. Everything is smaller. The sound is more
immersive.
It's immersive, yes, because the room is smaller. And that room pressurizes really well, so you really feel everything. And there's like barely any lights. There's no like lasers and shit. And very simple. It's like just a disco ball in the middle of the room. Oh no, I'm sorry, above the DJ. And there's no flash photography, so you can't be like blinding everybody. It's super dark.
I love it.
So you hear more than you see. So that's why the sound in there is more intimate, more like overwhelming, right? And the great thing about that venue is that we get big bookings in small venues. So we get big artists that wouldn't necessarily play like in a small room like that. We get them to play in small rooms, and you get this atmosphere vibe. That's really cool.
Kind of reminds me. So I finally made it out to Stereo in Montreal last year.
I've never been. I've been.
Oh my gosh. It's.
I keep hearing about it.
Probably.
Well, I've always heard about it.
Yeah. Well, Marcus was like, you got to come out. You got to come out and see me play. And so I went. Amazing.
Yeah.
And it's because they have a no phone policy.
Yeah, that's great.
The sound is amazing.
I wish
the vibes are amazing. And they don't sell alcohol at Stereo. Mm. They just sell like energy drinks, soft drinks, water, you know, stuff to keep you like hydrated, but not really like, and I think that's why a lot of it, people last, I mean, obviously people partake in other things, but alcohol's not, you know, the forefront of it. And there's places to sit down if you need to. I don't know. It was just, Stereo is just on another level. And I think it's just because it is an after hours club. So like Space is also known as that too, where you can just, it goes forever. And
yeah. Space, it's got that after hour vibe. I would tell people, like, if you're like older, like more wiser, like, don't get there at like midnight. What you want to do is get there like around, like wake up at 6 a.m, take a shower, brush your teeth, have a coffee, get there like 7 a.m. or 8 a.m. and you can like start your day at Space. The sun's already up. Stay there a couple hours, have like a mimosa. They have like, you know, ginger, if you're not into drinking, they have like ginger shots, coconut water, stuff like that. You can order food, you know, you can order caviar in the terrace. No, it's very chill vibes, you know, it's just busy chill vibes, but, but you can, and then after it's done, you can go to the beach. Whenever you
want. True.
You know, like at 1 p.m, you can just have brunch, you know, it's pretty chill.
Well, and the other thing too, is I found during Miami Music Week, it tends to be like where people end up is Space. Because a lot of the other parties, because the other parties end and then everybody's like, well, I still want to keep going. Or people were at Ultra and they use it like their after party. So
it is the after party. It's the official, unofficial after party. It's, you know, it's the only place where you can, I mean, the lineup is crazy, you know?
Yeah.
The thing is, you have to have, you can't just show up to Space.
No.
Never just show up at Space. Yeah. That's a bad idea. Yeah.
Well, the lines are pretty long every time I've been by or seen people go to Space.
Usually if those are people who just don't have tickets, you know, if you have tickets, you know, you have to wait too long. You just wait in line and everywhere. But people just show up at Space thinking you just show up at Space, because the problem is it's just, there's no room. It just, sometimes you hit capacity, it's just too many people and just have to wait and stuff like that. And then ticket holders have, you know, priority, stuff like that.
Why do you think that there's, you know, Space is kind of like one of a kind, even in Miami with all the venues? Like, why is it able to have these long parties into the daytime? Obviously, they have different licenses, but why are they the only one? You know what I mean?
I don't know why they have that license, but they have a license. It's one of the few venues that have the 24-hour license, and that's why, you know, it is what it is. But it's because it has legacy, you know? It's been around for, you know, more than 25 years. I think 25 years. And it's just, every Miamian's DNA has, like, everybody knows about Space in Miami, you know? My mom knows about Space. My grandma knows, you know, everybody knows about Space. It's like everybody has, you know, a story about Space, or heard a story about Space, or had an uncle who used to go to Space, and now your nephews and nieces want to go to Space. You know, it's just, yeah, it's like part of like the Miami culture now.
Yeah. Well, I just think it's cool that like it still has that vibe, as you said, chill vibes, but there's like, has this vibe that people want to go there every time. I mean,
yeah, you have to provide that vibe. You know, as a venue, you have to be, it has to be like a cool, chill, safe space that has everything for everybody. You know, you don't have to be raging out. If you just want to be, you know, just hang out and drink coconut water all night or all morning, you can do that too, you know. But it's just, you know, they just provide that vibe, that space, you know, and that's why everybody wants to go. I mean, it can be intimidating at first. People think it's, you know, it's some crazy Berlin club, you know. But it's not, you know. People have probably heard stories and shit, but a lot of them is probably embellished. And when you go in there, you're like, oh, it's pretty chill. It's just like, you know, it's not crazy.
Yeah, I think, well, especially online, if you're talking about Berlin, like those, there's, I want to go there just to see if it's true. Because like everybody talks about Berghain and a lot of the others and like how hard it is to get in, how, what happens when you get in. And all these like...
Yeah, well, you heard all the stories and how...
And it's kind of not as the same type of stories, but kind of like there's like these myths about space too that I've heard.
Where with Germany, it's like, I mean, I've never been to Berghain. I've been to Germany. I've been to Berlin, Frankfurt, Munich, but never clubbing actually, just like doing touristy stuff. But when it comes to like clubs like that, I mean, those are pretty hardcore clubs. And there's a reason why, you know, it's hard to get in. It's because you shouldn't be there in the first place, right? They know what's happening inside, and they're doing you a favor by not letting you in. That's why you got the vibe check. If you don't look like or have the vibe of you're like all good about what's happening inside, you know, they're doing you a favor. Like, you know, this place is not for you. You may think it is, but it's not. And they're doing you a favor by not letting you in, right? Unless you match those criterias, you know, then it's like, okay, yeah, you know what's up. You're not going to walk in and walk back out, you know? You're just going to be there for the next 48 hours.
Yeah, because they don't close for days. Yeah. Is what I've heard.
Yeah, I heard people bring book bags and stuff like that. I mean, I know people who've been there and they told me like how it is. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's exactly what I thought it is, you know? And they're like, yeah, it makes sense. Like they don't. Oh shit. fuck.
Oh no.
Did you hear that?
A little bit.
Disclaimer. I have cats.
Yeah, well, it happens.
Three of them. And one of them just jumped and is looking at me. You know what you did?
It's very relatable. I'm sure people listening to this will relate. If they have cats.
All right, you gotta give me like 2 minutes. Hold on. I got 9 minutes here. Like, look at this thing.
Oh, no.
Hold on, give me a second.
All righty, we're back.
All right, we're back. All right. Yeah, my little Dazzler decided to. So, my drink is here on the right, and then she like jumped on the table and spilled it everywhere.
Oh awesome. Boy.
Okay. Well, I think we're good. Okay. I still have a little bit left. Okay. What was I saying?
Well, we were just talking about how like, you know, we were
Berlin.
Yeah. In Berlin and like what we heard about all the clubs there. And,
but yeah, that's pretty much what it is. I mean, like if you want to deal with that, you know, just go to, I mean, there's a lot of other clubs you can go. You don't have to go to Berghain or anything.
Well, I know. Well, the reason I'm bringing this up is because, like, there seems to be a lot of headlines in the scene about, in certain places like the UK and other places in Europe, where a lot of clubs are closing because festivals have taken over. And so certain venues are becoming a lot more, for lack of a better word, sacred, like Stereo or Space or all of the venues that are, you know, well-known in Ibiza and stuff. So my thing is that do you see it as a bad thing that a lot of the clubs are closing? I kind of see it as a good thing that it was like
oversaturated market.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, it's too many venues, like trying to do the same thing. You know, it's good. It's good and bad. It's, you know, it's like it's yin and yang. I mean, venues, I mean, the hardcore venues are probably going to stay longer, you know, than the little side venues. I mean, I like little small venues as well, but, you know, club culture, you know, it has changes, you know, maybe it's going through like a little change right now.
Right. Well, you mentioned like you have the small room and still a lot of well-known artists want to play there. Do you think that it's going to take a lot of the same type of artists to kind of go back to smaller venues that are still, or play at these other venues that are well known that are still popular?
I think well known small venues probably. I mean, you don't want to be like a headliner act and go to some random ass bar, you know, play either.
True.
Well, this is like a small venue that's like, you know, it's been around for 20, 30 years and it's like, you know, a staple in the community. Like, you know, it's that small little venue, that intimate venue with an amazing sound system that's curated properly. That's, you know, checks out all the vibe checks. You know, I think those venues are going to stay. And then, you know, also the bigger venues are going to stay. Unless, you know, something happens where they have to sell it, you know? or an owner retires, you know, just like Spacey Beza, you know, the guy was like 90 or some shit. He can't run a club forever. You know, it's like, he's like, yeah, okay, I'm done. I think he opened when he was like 60 already.
Yeah. But you could also sell it or, you know, but I think the idea was that like the era of it was just okay to end at that point.
Well, it's what happened to Space. Space got sold. You know, that guy was like the founding, the Louis Poy guy. He was like, you know, the guy who invented it. And then it got taken over by like another conglomerate. And then it got taken over again by the current owners. And it's busier than ever. Whatever they did is like, it's been amazing for Space. They just brought it to the next level, you know?
Well, I mean, you said the vibes, but also I think the reputation.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's there, it is kind of a one of a kind, being that it has the 24-hour license. So at the very end, people who aren't aware end up there maybe, or people say, oh, we got to go to Space. Let's go. I mean, I think it's the reputation. I mean, I've been to 11, which is across the street, but I've never been to Space to this day. Crazy. Isn't that crazy? Yeah, I've been to 11 like 3 times, but I've never been to Space.
Yeah, I mean, it's literally like 5 feet away.
I know.
I mean, Space and 11 have a good relation with each other, but it's just two different clubs. It's two different vibes. Yeah. So they don't compete against each other, you know?
No.
Right. So, but yeah, Space is just different. I mean, they're 24 hours as well, but it's just a totally different vibe, you know?
Well, it allows like the music and the vibes to speak for themselves though. Because when you go to a venue and you know you have an out, I think certain people go too hard, maybe party too hard, and then others feel a little like, that's it, I think, because, you know, there's a last call and then you got to leave and then it's like, and then that's why people end up at Space, because they're like, well, Space is still going, so like, let's head there.
We get a lot of tourists. Like in my side of the venue, we get a lot of people who show up like, doors open at 11, but people don't show up to like, you know, midnight, 1 a.m. or the party doesn't get going to like 1 a.m., 2 a.m. And then they walk in and it's like totally empty. And they're like, where is everybody at? This is like supposed to be the party. Like, you know, it's like sold out. Like we bought tickets. We heard it's sold out. Where is everybody? And there's nobody there. It's a sold out show. Like for like the next 2 hours, they're looking at us like, I'm like, you're here too early. People don't leave their house till like 12:30, 12, you know?
Right.
And then get there like at 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. It's like a culture shocks people. You know, because a lot of places in the US, I mean, everything's done by like 1 or 2, right?
Yeah. Well, that even Vegas though. I think a lot of people go there thinking that it's like Vegas. And the funny thing about Vegas is that Vegas clubs close at like 2 or 3.
And does it?
Yeah, some do. I mean, unless they're like an after hours club, which are very few.
What was that? There was an after hours club. Wasn't it called like Dare or some shit?
Dre's used to be one.
Dre. Okay, sorry. I'm thinking.
But
Hard Rock.
I don't think Dre's open anymore. And there used to be.
That was the last time I was there. I was probably there like 6, 7 years ago.
Yeah, I don't think it's open anymore.
EDC weekend.
Or they moved. Maybe that's what it is. But either way, my point is I think people go to Miami thinking that it's the same type of club atmosphere and party, and that you have to like plan for afterwards.
Yeah.
And when they, it's totally different vibe. Like,
yeah. I tell people like, hey, if you don't know who's playing or you didn't buy tickets and you don't know the artist that's playing, you should not go to space.
But I think that's good though. I think people should do that. They should go and explore more.
Because remember, some people are like tourists and they're not into like, they look up best club in Miami and then space pops out as number one. And then they're not even into house or techno or anything.
That's true.
They're into like, you know, open format hip hop, but they just looked up best club in Miami and it's going to be the number one hit. And then they walk in and they're like asking the DJ, hey, can you play like, you know, Bad Bunny and shit? You know, that does happen in the booth. I'm always in the booth. And that's happened. We're like, we get a, or like the, they put up their phone that says Bad Bunny, you know? And it's like a hardcore techno night. Like, or they go up to me like, hey, are they going to play this type of music all night? I'm like, can I make a request? And I'd be like, I'm sorry. We don't, you know, just, we don't do that here. You know, I'm always extra polite about it because I understand like they don't know, you know.
But I would think, I don't know, if you had been there for like an hour or so and the music was techno, then maybe that's probably...
Trust me, no. They don't understand. They don't.
Really?
No.
That's... Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, no. Because, yeah, people think it's like clubbing is like a generic thing, you know, and space is a very... Believe it or not, it's like a very niche-y thing, you know?
Yeah.
It's not niche for us because, you know, we're in the scene. It's like, but it really is very niche, you know?
That's true. But yeah,
most clubs in Miami are playing like, you know, reggaeton and shit, you know?
That's true. But if that's what they were into, wouldn't they try to look for those clubs though? That's what I'm saying.
See, we're not in that mindset. They're like, it's different. They're tourists, you know? It's like, they don't know.
That's funny.
Yeah. They don't know. We have to be, you know, forgiving, you know.
Well, I think that's excited. What it is. Well, no, but I have to go back to,
you know,
Vegas.
Sometimes with people.
Right. But to go back to Vegas, I think that's why. Because when you go to Vegas, you go to a Vegas club there.
Well, it's very commercial, you know.
Yeah.
People have their Vegas sets. DJs, even who are like techno or house guys, they have their Vegas, quote unquote, Vegas set, you know, and where they have to be more vocally and shit like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I went to Vegas months ago, in March, and I hadn't been into many of the strip clubs recently, but James Hype was playing at one, and then the Chainsmokers were playing at another, but then they had DJs afterwards. So their set was very like one and done, and it was very like, this is exactly what I expected for Vegas. I'm glad I really didn't pay much money.
1 hour, 2 hour, banging out.
Done. Yeah, but not even, though. I felt for James Hype because he was on the mic a lot and he was just trying to get the crowd into it. And most of the people were like newly 21-year-olds partying, like bachelorette parties and shit. Yeah. And it was just like, they didn't know where they were, obviously, but that's just Vegas. And it's just like, that's why the Vegas scene is what it is. And a lot of people just don't like Vegas anymore.
No, James Hype, you know, apparently he loves space. So.
Yeah. But I'm just thinking, that's the thing, is like the artists would prefer to play like space than they would prefer to play in
Because they're ready, they know what's happening, you know, and they know what, you know, what to expect, and
they're
ready for it, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
and you can get crazy. You can kind of you can push it in space. Yeah, I don't think you could push it in Vegas. Yeah.
Well, I just think, I mean, at the end of the day, Vegas is more about like the tables and the money spent in the club. Not that space isn't, but what I'm saying, it's that vibe of like, if you got a bunch of high rollers that have bought a table. I mean, I saw Armin back in the day play Vegas probably 8 or 9 years ago, and it was at Omnia, and it was EDC weekend when I went, and he didn't go on till 1 in the morning. They oversold the club. And then there was like some rumors of some high rollers that had bought out like the space tape, like the table by the booth, and spent like 50 grand or some ridiculous amount back then. And so they
it's probably more than that.
Probably more.
That seems a little.
Yeah. Well, at least one of the tables was. Yeah. It could have been like up from there. But my point is that he played Snoop Dogg in the club because they requested it. Because the table buyers were like, this is trans. We don't like trans. So like, my point is.
See, I'm on both fences with that. Because.
Yeah, but I mean.
Like, you're a D. Okay, so.
But let me give you EDC weekend.
Yeah.
And it's marketed to the scene and people that know who Armin is, and he's going to be a headliner at EDC.
First of all, did he actually play a Snoop Dogg song? Or is this like a rumor?
I was there.
Before I answer this. Oh, you were there.
Yeah. That's how I know. Like,
But which Snoop Dogg song, though? That's me.
It was like Gin and Juice. It was one of those like classic ones. He dropped
I'll allow it.
Yeah. Okay, but the point of it is just weird for me to be like, hey, I'm here at Armin seeing him drop Snoop Dogg. If I wanted to hear Snoop Dogg, I'd go see Snoop Dogg in Vegas. You see what I'm saying?
Okay, I can only give you this perspective of like a DJ. So,
okay.
Small time DJ. It's okay. So first of all, let's get in the mindset. Yes, it's EDC weekend, but you're still in Vegas and you're still at a Vegas club, right? And one with high rollers and all that shit. And two, if it looks like, I mean, you want to play for 10% of the crowd or like 90% of the crowd, you know, I'm not saying that was the ratio, but if I think if you would have saw like, you know, 75% or 80% of the audience looks like they would, you know, like a Snoop Dogg song in the middle of a fucking trance set, then I think, you know, you should do it. Because it's better to play for, you know, 90% of the crowd than, you know, 10% of the crowd. I mean, that 10% is going to, funny thing is, 10% is going to be the loudest in the socials, you know. But not you're there 90%. They're all buying tickets, and then if you got a bunch of high rollers around you, you know, one request Snoop Dogg, and so I'm sure they probably paid him or something.
Well, I just think it was interesting because there was a ton of people there that I know
and
that
rebooking. They love rebookings. So the probably the manager of that night or an owner or whatever was like, oh, this guy just dropped $100,000. He's our guy. He spends $100,000 every weekend with us. You know, can you like, you know, indulge him, you know, with one Snoop Dogg song and then go back to playing trance. And then, you know, that's probably like a $50,000 booking for him or whatever it is. And like, okay, well, you pay me $50,000, you know, it's like,
I know, but it's just that whole idea of like, what's the point?
I may be devil's advocate.
I know, but my point is that what's the point of having it be about the headliner when the headliner can't.
But I'm also on your boat. I'm also like, what the fuck did I just pay this ticket for?
Yeah, it was $50 to get in. Yeah.
You know, if I want to hear Jazzy Jeff, I go hear Jazzy Jeff.
Exactly.
You know? And guess what? I love Jazzy Jeff more than Armin.
I've seen Jazzy Jeff in Vegas. Yeah, so,
Jazzy Jeff is amazing, you know? Like,
I
love Armin too, but you know, if it was Armin and Jazzy Jeff, even though, look, I'm a trans guy, I'll go see Jazzy Jeff, you know, because I love Jazzy.
I've seen Jazzy Jeff. He's amazing. In Vegas at Ghost Bar and Palms back in those days.
Yeah.
So, I mean, my point is, I guess it's like, what is the point of having like the marquee and all the money surrounding a headliner when it's, they're just, you know, paid to play whatever. Yeah. And I think that's what Vegas has turned into and why a lot of people just, artists themselves don't like playing Vegas unless it's like a special show. Yeah. Like,
the problem is the money's too good, I'm guessing.
At the casinos, yes.
I hear that Vegas is not like doing so well anyway.
Well, it's not doing well with the economy right now, but my point is like, I think that's to get back to what we were talking about, why space is so special, and why Miami is different is because it's not that. There's...
Oh, it's definitely not that.
No.
It's its own thing.
Yeah. Obviously, it's not about like gambling or all the other stuff either. But my point is that I think that's why you get the people that go to Miami thinking that it's going to be different. And then they realize, oh no, you're playing techno all night. Like, I mean, I love it, but you know, that's me. I love techno.
Yeah.
So we didn't really like get too much into a space last time, but I was just like, it's interesting to me, like how it's evolved and how it's keeping it evolved. And it's different as I get older, wanting more of that, like authentic. Mm. I love how things are kind of going more warehousey and what raves used to actually be, as opposed to, I'm just not really into the, like how crazy music festivals have gotten. Like,
yeah, I think at an older age, because I've done it a bunch of times, like, you know, I personally can't do it unless I'm backstage now. Like, I can't deal with crowds and stuff like that. I can deal with crowds in clubs, but not crowds in
festivals. Same.
Yeah, in festivals. I mean, I like the deeper, darker, intimate rooms and stuff like that. I feel like better vibes, better sets. I like longer sets. You know, it just creates a better energy. Like, I think a younger, you know, you have more ADD, and then you get those banging sets and you get that rush of dopamine really quick. And then you like that when you're younger. And then when you're older, you like the longer.
But I also just think they're overselling a lot of festivals now. Because when I went to EDC, it was over 100,000 then, almost 200,000. And that seemed like overcrowded. And that was like 8 years ago, and I haven't been back. And now it's like five times the size.
Is it more than 200,000 people?
This year and the last year, I heard it was over 500,000, almost 600,000 people.
Jesus, that's a lot.
At EDC Vegas. So I'm just like, A, I couldn't handle it when it was, you know what I mean? And I've had issues.
Just getting there is a pain in the ass.
Exactly.
And the last time, it's a pain in the ass even if you're an artist. Because I remember when we went there, I was traveling with Marcus and crew, with Tim and Mike and everybody. And it took us, even though we go like, you know, special car, a special route where we go off the highway, we go through a fucking a military complex.
Base, like, yeah, you base. Follow. Yeah,
and all that. And it's still like an hour and a half to get there. And it's like a 10-minute drive. Yeah, it's crazy. And it's still like, and then you have to wait for the, you know, come back. I'm like, holy shit. I mean, I can imagine how it is for the non-artist people, you know? Like,
it's the worst because you're stuck in traffic.
Like, yeah, you're like, I feel like it'd be like a 3-hour traffic, you know, stuck in traffic, right? Like, well, I wouldn't have a panic attack in the car.
It's bad enough getting to the speedway if you're like, all the way at the strip. But what's worse is getting back after you've been at EDC all night and it's dusk and you're like wrecked and you just want to like recover for the, and it's just like you're stuck in traffic and getting back. It's, I don't know. I know they have camping now, but even that doesn't.
Oh, they have camping now? I was literally about to say, why don't they have campgrounds?
They do. In the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, I think.
Oh, really now?
Yeah.
I haven't been there like five.
But you can, they have like camping area and they have like, people have RVs, but not everybody leaves. But they, again, what I'm saying is that there's more, they sell more capacity now. So even so, even if you're not part of the camping, you still got to, you know, find a hotel and all that stuff. So it's just the logistics of EDC doesn't appeal to me anymore. It was great that I've went a couple times
it's
back in the day, but yeah. And even if I had the energy, like, I don't know if I could just handle that crowd. Just, it was just hard enough getting from stage to stage, let alone like when it was way less capacity when I went. Now I can only imagine how hard it is to go. And if you want to see multiple artists, like, yeah, it just seems like exhausting. Yeah.
You have to literally train. It's like I'm training for like a marathon.
Yeah.
You got to get your cardio in. You got to get your vitamins in. You got to be literally mentally and physically prepared for it. Like you're doing a hiking trip, you know? Yeah. Like you're doing a long ass marathon, 3-4 day hike with a backpack. And if you could train for that, then you're good for EDC.
Well, luckily they have it in May. The last time I went, it was the last year. It was in June and it was really hot.
Yeah.
So
Vegas could be
like, that's probably why I haven't been back. We almost died when it was like, And that was the first year they had the
I mean, I'm from Miami, and it's hot for me, you know?
Well, yeah. But my point is that that year, I remember when we went, it was the first year they had the trance stage at EDC, and it was like a tent.
Mm.
And it trapped the heat in. So it was hotter in than it was even outside.
They have a space stage now.
No, I know. That's crazy. But my point is like, I'm glad they don't do that. Cause like pretty much people, we almost died of heat exhaustion.
Yeah, unless it's really AC. Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember Ultra used to have tents. There was like a Carl Cox tent.
Well, they still kind of do, but it's like a structure now.
Yeah. Yeah, unless there's AC in there, and it's not good.
Yeah, well,
the Carl Cox tent, the stage wasn't like a small tent. It was a massive tent, but it was a tent.
Now it's
you go
stage.
In, you can just
yeah.
It's like a locker room in there.
Yeah,
a locker room with no AC. No, it's like a locker room that's also a sauna.
Sauna, yeah. Yeah,
and throwing in a steam room as well.
Yeah, I don't know. I just I'm used to Groove Cruise now, where everything's chill. So
no, Groove Cruise is amazing. It's like luxury raving.
It is.
That's why it's an older crowd. It's an older crowd that like likes a little bit of luxury, a little bit of you can crawl to your bedroom.
Yeah,
you know,
or people don't even make it back. They're just chilling.
Yeah, I miss Groove Cruise.
Groove Cruise.
Yeah, but I did it for like 6-7 years in a row. And plus, I have to like get the whole weekend off. I got to like reserve it because my weekends, I've been busy for the past 6 years. So
it's that like
my
sense.
Weekends are every weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's
6 years I've been at Space, by the way.
Nice.
Yeah. And I've been going there, you know, since I've been there for 25 years. It's like a second home to me. And if I don't work there anymore, God forbid I get fired or some crazy shit or I leave or retire or some shit. I'll probably still be, and if it's still there, I'll still be going to space.
Yeah. Well, it's you know, if you like it, you like it.
Yeah, it's an addiction. It's funny. I was you start off as like a patron, and then you know,
you want to work there,
working there. You know, well, I did some gigs there. My first, you want to hear my first gig? My first gig in a venue was the main room of Club Space.
Nice.
Yeah, when it was the old original building. And the main room was called the Blue Room. And I forget who I was opening up for. It was a little really intimidating because, you know, I'm just a kid and I'm on a rotary mixer. They have like the old Rain rotary mixer, which is like, you know, if you never played on it, it's very intimidating, you know. It's not really easy to use, especially if you've never seen it in your life as a DJ. And then the turntables are on spring-mounted springs. Because out of all the vibration, if not it feedbacks. So when you're trying to like DJ, you do a little scratch, you know, just try to cue a track. The turntable is just jumping up and down like this. Yeah, wow. It sucks. It was the worst hour of my life.
Well, you made it through.
I made it through, but literally it was my first venue gig. Before I used to do like, I was just DJing either like people's houses, like little rave ecstasy parties back in the day when ecstasy was good. And yeah, people's houses, people were like, oh, you DJ, come to my house, you know. And I just go in, there's just bodies everywhere laying on the floor, you know. And you just trying to walk over them, go into the DJ booth, and you just play it, you know, until like, you know, the sun comes up. And you're playing the same record like 3 times.
They don't care at that point.
You're playing the B side, the C side, the D side, all sides.
Yeah, but that's when it was. I don't know. I kind of feel like there are a lot of. Well, I guess it would be the older of us, older people that have been around for a while. They kind of want it to go back to that feel of like. I know during the pandemic when everybody was online and doing streams. I mean, the amount of vinyl that people were playing was great. But then everybody went back to work and got into their lives, and there are still DJs on there.
Sets now.
Yeah, but vinyl is great.
Yeah, I do vinyl. So I do I'm on Jolt Radio,
mm-hmm.
and I do every second Monday there. so twice a month. And I do a 2-hour set. I do my radio show on there, and it's only vinyl.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I feel like, because I started doing playing USB sticks there, and then it's like, it's whatever. You know, I just do it for the show because all the music I still get, you know, like 100 emails a week of music. And then I just did it just to play all the tracks and stuff like that. And then I saw they always have turntables there that people don't use. So I started playing vinyl again, and I still buy vinyl to this day. I still collect. So if I go out of town, like I went to New York a couple of months ago, I go to try to go as many record stores as I can and buy as many.
Well, vinyl's really popular again. Like,
yeah, it's
people
it's,
collecting.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, there's great record stores here. You know, there's T-Back Records. It's really great. And a little pricey though. Like records are getting really, really pricey. Like I have everything categorized on my Discogs of everything. Well, about 75%, 50% of what I own, it's on Discogs, and it tells you the amount, your the value of your collection, the resale value, because you can sell your records on Discogs, and it's it keeps on going up. The value keeps on going up. Like I have records that's just a 12-inch one side bootleg that's like $200 on Discogs. One record, one 12-inch with one song on the side.
With one track.
One track. It's like $200 track. And I have multiple tracks like that because sometimes I look up like the BPMs and keys and stuff like that. And then I look it up at Discogs, like before, you know, I do my set, I draw radio. And then I'm like, this record is $150. What the fuck? It's like multiple asking prices of like $100, $150. I'm like, what the fuck? I think I have two copies of this.
Wow.
It's usually bootlegs because bootlegs, you're not allowed to sell them. Because of copyright, and then that's why they only like there's only like 50 or 100 copies ever pressed, you know, like in the world when it was made in like 98, 99, or 2000.
Right, but my point is they're still selling them though. You just spent $200 on it.
Yeah.
So
well,
the idea-
I didn't. One thing is I didn't spend $200 on it.
Got
it. No, I already have the record.
Oh, gotcha.
I bought that record in like in 1998 or 7, you know. And then I'm looking up because I'm looking it up on Discogs. This is like pretty recent.
Oh, okay.
It's like a month ago.
The resale value would be?
Yeah, because I'm looking up the records because I look for the BPM, the key, and stuff like that. Sometimes right. You can find that on Discogs, and then I look it up, and it says like value of how much they're selling it for on Discogs, and it's like $150. $100 to $200 record. Yeah, I'm like, holy shit. And I kept on hitting more $100 records. I have like a bunch of $100 records.
That's awesome.
I mean, it's paid like 10 bucks for.
Well, it works.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, but that's cool though. I mean, I like that like vinyl, people care. Like, and it became full circle. Now more people are buying vinyl than CDs. Yeah.
I like it that it's coming back. You know,
yeah.
I don't like people who are playing vinyl just to play vinyl. That I don't like.
No. You know? But then I just think then there's those that really do like collecting vinyl and that they like how it sounds and you're never going to get rid of that like quality of sound.
Yeah. It's a pain in the ass. Vinyl is expensive. It's inconvenient. It's a pain in the ass. You have to set up. When I play a Joe radio, it takes me like 20 minutes just to set up before I even start. I can't just start right away. So I got to get there like extra or early. And sometimes I don't because I get there late. You know, I get stuck in the bridge or some bullshit. I'm only 5 minutes away too. And then, you know, I have to set up the needles. I have to calibrate the needles. I have to calibrate the turntables. I have to do the weights, the tracking, the anti-scape. It's a lot of shit. Oh, by the way, I also do, I'm the turntable specialist at Space.
Nice.
Self-proclaimed. So I do all the turntable decks most of the time at Space. Yeah.
Well, I mean, might as well. I mean, it is a science to it. I mean, you can't just, especially since a lot of turntables are pretty old.
Yeah, they're like 30 years old. You know, some of them 30 years old, Mark IIs and IIIs and IVs, and some are 25 years old, and you know, they have little capacitors, and they go. You have to change out the tone arms, and you have to change out the pitch faders, you know, every so often. But we do all that. All the turntables of Space. We have about 5 decks in service at Space, and then we have to get them service. But there's the turntable itself is like 30 years old, but the components on them, you know, they have to be changed. They're like, you know, brand new. We change all the pitch faders on the turntables, but then you have to dial them in, you know, because not all the DJ booths are set up for turntables. You know, they're all made out of wood. You mean, you know, and things reverb and vibrate and they start feeding back and all this crazy shit. So we have to put 50-pound concrete slabs under them. So I have to run around 50-pound concrete slabs of concrete just to put it under them. And they have to put like rubber feet in them. And then we have to, you know, dial in the feedback. It's like microphones, you know. That's another thing. And then you have to EQ the shit on them. And the booth can't go as loud because you crank up the booth, you're going to get feedback on the turntable. So I have to limit that. You have to EQ the booth specially for the turntable. So there's that. There's a whole process. Yeah, I know, it's so much fun.
I know.
And you know what's fucking crazy? I love playing fucking vinyl.
Yeah.
It has to be amazing.
Yeah,
you can deal with all that bullshit. Well, yeah, vinyl has to be amazing.
Yeah, all the work that goes into making it great.
Yeah, it's so much. It's so much. But I love playing records because records are always a hit. All the records I have, it's hard to have like a record that sucks because it has to go through so many like hands in order to press a vinyl record. The record has to be fucking good because you have to, you know, the label has to spend so much money for the fucking record. It's not a free thing. It's not a digital thing. You can just send it out and you're fucking good. The distributors and shit, you know, you have to press them and you got to get a master and it's all this money, you know? So you're not going to press something that sucks. So that's why usually 9 times out of 10, you know, records, you know, they always hit.
Well, the reason I'm talking about this is because there's kind of not to really shift too far gears, but there's just a lot of, I love the fact that like, if you're into music, you're in the scene, you care, whether you're listening to vinyl or if you go to the right venues, but there's a lot of talk right now and obviously across the board in every industry, but in a lot of industries about, where music is and if it's like going to be AI created and what's going to happen to artistry when people are having a hard time figuring out what is real and what is fake. And it's interesting. I think one thing is happening is that people who are really into it are going to make it a point to go to a Space or Stereo or some of these other clubs. And then the people that are just kind of like novices are probably, do you think you're going to stick around? I mean, because they're not going to know the difference if it's a good song or if it's...
I don't think we're there yet. I know what you're trying to say. I don't think we're there yet. We're eventually going to be there, but I don't think it's not going to be in our lifetime.
Well, they're talking
about... I feel like if you're talking about AI and...
Yeah. But like on Spotify right now, there are fake artists that have a lot of plays and stuff on Spotify.
That's good. Let them do that.
The thought process is just to make Spotify more profitable.
Yeah, you have to let them do that. You have to let people burn themselves to the ground. No, you have to let them. You got to know like, oh, so you like doing this. You like doing that. Yeah, keep doing it. And then you just don't listen and don't buy the music. And you got to let it burn out. You know, you got to let it. You gotta let a democracy happen. You gotta let them do whatever they want. So we can be like, fuck no, you know? And say, and then we know, oh yeah, you're the guy who wanted to introduce us to fake music. You know? Like, I remember you. Okay, so I'm not doing business with you. You wanna cut artists out? Okay. You just gotta let them do it. Yeah, all right. Oh, Spotify, you like doing that? Okay, well, guess what? I'm not cool with that. I'm not doing that. Oh, you're that label who wanted to do AI artists because you wanted to, you know, make more money so you don't have to pay anybody? Okay. Just let them do it. You got to let them do it. So you know better. So you could be like, okay, you know, I'm not dealing with you. Yeah. You can't be like, you can't do that. You can't.
That's true.
No, let them do it. You got to let people expose themselves, you know?
I mean, it's helpful when people are like, let you know who they are, but
yeah, just let them be. It's let them do all that. But the other thing is, at one point, which I'm saying we're not there yet, you're not going to be able to tell what's real and not real. We're not there yet, but we will be. Not in this lifetime, but we're going to be at what is real? What is reality? And so we're going to be thinking about more deeper things than fake artists. You know, we're going to have to be thinking like, is this real type shit? And that's going to be coming soon, because the delta for like how things, like how, like, are we in a simulation or not? You know, it's not there, but you can see like a little bit of it. Right. And then, you know, VR is going to happen, like virtual reality and shit. And that's going to be cool, because people are going to be playing, like, you know, how the pandemic was, everybody's stuck at home. So right. And then you're going to have like the Ready Player One type shit. Right. But then after that, there's going to be like, after the Ready Player One shit, then after that, it's going to be like, you're just going to be born and be like, wait a minute, am I born in the real world? Or am I born in the fake world?
Yeah. But at that point, is that good though? Cause like, think about it, going to events or going to a space, it's about like the camaraderie and the vibes. If everybody's just stuck at home in their little virtual reality world, that is kind of.
Yeah, let them have it, because then, you know, if you're a venue like club space and shit, and everybody's going to be like, okay, come to space for the real shit, the real deal. You got to have the real deal. You got to have the higher class stuff. There's different levels, right? You're going to have, you know, you're going to drive, you know, a shitty car, and then you're going to be like, oh, there's the Ferrari, the real, like, not Ferrari.
You know what I mean?
The Porsche, you know, it's like, it's the real experience, the real hardcore, the racing and like, and then you're going to have like the commuter car, you know, there's going to be levels and stuff. And then, you know, soon it's going to be like, first it's going to be the fake world is the higher end tier, right? Where it's like, oh shit, we can go crazy in the fake world. And then that's going to drop down again and be like, holy shit, now reality is all fake. And then you have the real world, and the real world is going to be the 5-star hotel and shit, right? If that makes sense. Or the higher end in life, right? And it's going to keep on switching back and forth and back and forth, right?
I guess.
So you're going to have, that's why the real experience is going to like a concert, going to a rock concert, you know, stuff like that. That's why the music industry has gone from physical format. Well, it's kind of coming back again. And it's like, you can't buy anything anymore, so you might as well pay for like the experience. And now the experience is going to like, you know, a Depeche Mode concert, you know, which was like my last concert I went to.
They're
something
great,
like that. It's something like that. Then you pay for that experience, and that's the higher tier, you know, because it's like the real, you know, it's not a Spotify playlist. It's, you know, you're there, the vibes. And that's why venues will always have like that vibe.
True. I guess my point that I'm making is that even that, though, it's going to become harder for people to be able to do because of the way, unless like Ticketmaster and Live Nation and all these, they figure out how not to like gouge everybody.
Yeah.
On tickets. I mean, it's expensive to go to a like mainstream show.
Yeah. But the thing is, if people, you gotta protest with your money, you know? It's like if it's too expensive, then not too expensive, or it's just like, I can afford it, but I ain't fucking doing that. I ain't paying you fucking $400-$500 for a ticket, you know? You know, but the thing is, the more people not pay, then that's, they'll change their ways. But also, why are they going to change their ways if everybody's paying for it?
I know, but my point
is like the Oasis, you know, Oasis, like how much is an Oasis ticket?
I don't know, but they're still not those stadiums because they haven't been touring for what, 30 years or something?
Yeah, some crazy shit like that. And then people are still going to pay. So it's like you have to see everything, you know, the benefits, the negatives. You got to see why people do it, I mean, you gotta have to try it. If you try to understand everything, then you know why they do it, and then you have like an acceptance of it. Like, yeah, okay, they're trying to make or this and that and that, and then it doesn't get you like in the situation where you're asking yourself why, you know, why they do that. Then you start thinking with your heart instead of your head, you know, and then it's gonna, you know, give you stress. But then when you understand, like, oh, well, the reality, oh, like they do it because of this, that, you know. Then you have more of an understanding of it, and then it's going to be less stressful. And then you'll be like, okay, it's not going to always stay that way. You know, things change all the time. Every 10 years, it's always different. And then the next thing's going to have every 10 years, and another next thing with 10 years. And then that's where we go back to the conversation of virtual reality, and then and then on and on and on and on and on.
I know, but my point is I guess being who I am, there's still a lot
point?
Of...
What is your point?
That people...
AMSR.
I just want people to be able to experience that. Yeah. You know what I mean? And if they haven't had the ability to do it because of price, yeah, that's kind
of... But then that's the thing. Then you're going to think like, oh, now there's a market. And you got to think like, hey, if I think this way, and since it's social media, you can find a million people who think that way. Not like 20 years ago where you couldn't find people who thought your way. Well, more than 20 years ago. Now you can find more people that think your way, and then you have a market, and now you can capitalize on that. You could be like, hey, people are stuck in their phones or stuck in VR, Ready Player One. Maybe I should make like a little venue, a little party, and like no That's phones true. Involved. And now I can, you know, be the leader and forefront of this movement. You know?
I mean, yeah. The interesting thing about it is just it's interesting to see what's going to happen with that.
The glass is half full.
Well, I mean,
it's not half empty. It's half full.
True.
Even when it is half empty, it's half
full. So I guess, so to kind of recap for those that are going to have to go back and listen to part the first episode to kind of get the backstory. For those that didn't catch that, you're on Jolt Radio, you said.
Yeah, so that's a new thing. So I do Jolt Radio every second Monday.
Okay.
Right? Twice a month. And I'm doing all vinyl sets. They all get uploaded to YouTube. So you can look up the Denzel playlist, and it's all like a bunch of vinyl sets. And I do – it's mostly like – so I collect a lot. So I could do like a set that's only from like all progressive house, you know, progressive trance, house, techno. I could do stuff like the other day I did vocal. I grabbed every single vocal record I had. So I played Tom's Diner, you know.
Nice.
It's some 90s dance music, Soul to Soul I was playing. And then the Soul to Soul switches to like, you know, melodic, you know, progressive track, you know, it's anything in my vinyl library, which is, I've been collecting for, you know, 30 years.
That's awesome.
Roughly. I say, I'm celebrating my 25 years of DJing, but it's actually more than 25 years. It's like 28.
Yeah, nice. 28, that's awesome.
29 years. But yeah, I do that. And then everything gets uploaded to SoundCloud and YouTube. But the YouTube videos are interesting, you know, because it's all on YouTube. It's a 2-hour set. And then you can hit the playlist and you can have a 24-hour background music.
And then you still have your other radio show, right?
Yeah. So it's Formations live on Jolt Radio.
Okay.
So it's still tagged like that. So I wanted to do it live. I wanted to get out of my house. And then Jolt Radio is literally 5 minutes away from me. And John Jolly, he's a great guy. He's the owner. He does all the programming and all that stuff. And they have like a dedicated studio there. It's got a great setup. They have for podcasting and all that. It's legit. It's not like some nice basement or something.
Studios. Yeah.
No, it's a proper studio, proper equipment, proper recording, proper everything. And then everything gets recorded nicely. And then sometimes on my Twitch channel, I grab all the videos and just rebroadcast it.
Nice.
Like I put like a 24-hour playlist and let it loop, and it's just me DJing on Twitch whenever I want. I mean,
that's awesome. So yeah. It'd be Twitch TV, just Denzo music?
DJ Denzo.
DJ Denzo.
Okay. Yeah, sometimes I can't get Denzo. There's always some, for some reason, the past, I don't know what it is, the past 10, 15 years, Denzos have been popping up. So I was the only Denzo for 20, I've been Denzo for 25 years, right? For some reason, the past 10 years, artists, I don't know why, I've been calling themselves Denzo. And then it's crazy. I checked the other day because I'm a published artist. You type in Spotify. Well, I can't do it on my phone because I got to do it on somebody else's phone. And they were like, hey, you're on Spotify. I looked up and I typed in Denzo and I had to scroll down to find me. And I have like a blue check mark and everything. I had to go down like a couple swipes. It was like Denzo. I'm like, cool. And it's all hip hop artists.
That's
like one's a hip hop artist, a reggaeton artist, and one's like another. And sometimes I get their fans like, oh, hey, what's up? Like it's an African artist and shit. It's weird. And all these Denzos popping up. I'm like, what the fuck is this? It's weird. And now every time there's a new social media platform or social network platform, even though I don't do it, like I don't have TikTok or Snapchat or anything, but when those came out, I have to like register the name really quickly, unless somebody else is going to get it.
That's kind of how I am with my handles. Yeah. Like there's just too many platforms and I only use certain ones.
Yeah.
But I have certain ones that I don't use just because I just wanted to get the name.
Oh, yeah, I don't use TikTok or Snapchat, but I have Denzo, Snapchat, Denzo, TikTok. Yeah.
Well, might as well.
Yeah. It sucks. But
at some point, they're going to all kind of come together, I guess. I don't know. Cool. Well, we talked a lot about space. We talked a lot about the scene. Yeah. So
Ibiza, did you say something about Ibiza?
I did.
Ibiza? As they
say. However you want to say it. I don't say it with the accent.
You got to say it. You're an Ibiza or you got a Ibiza.
I know. Ibiza.
Well, I think it's pronounced country of origin. So if people from Spain say Ibiza, then it's pronounced.
Well, they do. It's the dialect.
And in Spain. Barcelona is pronounced Barcelona, you know.
Yeah. It's how they pronounce it.
You got to do how the Romans do it, you know?
Yeah. Well, my goal is still to make a trip out there.
Have you been?
Nope.
I've been before the euro.
Nice.
It was still the Spanish currency. Yeah.
Nice.
Want me to tell you my Ibiza story?
Sure.
So and then we'll talk about Ibiza.
I think you told me last time, but we can.
Did I?
We talked a little bit.
I think I did. Did I?
A little bit, yeah. On the first episode. But
okay. No. We'll go.
Well, it's fine. It's just people will have to go back and listen to that one. So.
No, I just went, my sister, you know, she was stationed in Germany and she was like, oh, everybody's talking about this little island called Ibiza. You want to go? And then long story short, we went and it was amazing. Yeah. But then I went the year after, like 2001, when they switched it to the euro, and it's like, holy shit, it's fucking tripled in price. Yeah.
Well, they say now it's like,
that's
really
01.
Expensive. Yeah.
And I went back in 2019.
Okay.
So, and then, but I didn't do no clubs. In 2019, I spent a week there. But I was at Marcus Schultz's, he had his wedding there.
Okay. Yeah. So you went.
Yeah. We went with the whole crew, reason. Chilled and stuff like that. Yeah. But we didn't go to any clubs. Yeah. Because the island is magical. So.
That's what everybody
says. Yeah. I think I said that. Yeah. No, remember, I think I told you that last time.
Yeah. We were talking about Cafe de Mar and. Yeah.
You want to talk about universe?
Yeah. Well, that looks amazing, though. Universe looks amazing. Nice. All the videos I've seen.
Yeah. Do you think it's commercial? Do you think it's not commercial? Do you think it's too much? What's your opinion on it? Because you were saying something about it.
Well, compared to the other ones, I think I'd rather go to Universe. But I also think it's just because their lineups are different and their lineups are more my taste.
Yeah.
Than like an Ushuaia or a High. But again, I haven't been to any of them.
Yeah.
So I can't really go from an actual experience perspective.
Yeah, you have to go. You have to spend a week there.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Yeah.
And that it's not even like I've watched like documentaries on that. There was like a documentary, was it last year or the year before, that they released about how like the history of Ibiza and then like what it is now and why a lot of people are like wishing it, you could go back to a time that it, you know, wasn't so well known.
Well,
I guess
it was more niche. It was more underground, yeah. More niche. But that's the thing. It was both ways because I watch interviews where like the old heads, like Paul Oakenfold was like, oh, the music was good, but it was shit. Yeah. And then we made the music better. And then now it's going back to shit. And that's like, yeah. It's everything goes full circle again. Like the sound, every sound system in the island sucked or whatever. And then we had to reinforce everything and blah, blah, blah. And then it became good. And then this and that.
Yeah. I think it's just all perspective,
they
but also
about Burning Man too. They're like, "Oh, Burning Man was shit for DJs. It was all like crappy music, and then like, oh, now it's good again." And I don't know.
Well, then you talk about Burning Man's a whole thing, whole discussion. But I don't know. I mean, I still want to go to Ibiza and just experience it once.
Yeah, because the thing is, it's expensive though. It could be expensive. Yeah.
That's not here.
It's not part. If you have the funds, yeah, but it's not going to be a part of your Euro trip around Europe. You know,
well, some people like, try to make it.
It's going to be like you're going there and then going straight back again. You know, you're not going to go to Berlin and this and that, and you know, like, oh, I'm in Europe, I might as well travel all over Europe. You know, I mean, you can. You're just going to have to save up for it.
Yeah,
because for us, we live in the U.S. as a transatlantic flight, so the flights alone is going to be expensive.
Yeah,
so you already drop like you know over $1,000 just to get there, you know, mm-hmm. and back. So that's why, like you know, if you're already there in Europe, you can just catch a train here and there. You know, it's a lot cheaper.
Or short flights.
You know? Yeah, short flights everywhere.
It's always been on my list, still on my list.
No, but the island is magical. The island is like its own thing. Like there's a party section, there's a non-party section. But I would say for the first, like when you first get there, you know, if you got the anxiety of going out and partying, maybe do that the first 3 days. If not, you want to like mellow out first, the first 3 days. If you don't have that anxiety, that fear of missing out anxiety, you just right. hang out and chill like on the beach for 3 days. You know, and then you can gradually do, you know, go to Universe or whatever. But right. I was like 80 euros or some shit to get in or something. The tickets, the pre-sale tickets. Yeah.
Well, I would be going for probably specific artists who have residencies there. I'd probably go
Carl Cox Night or Carl Cox Now is about.
They're like Adam Bayer's residency or like the Resistance residency. Yeah. Certain residencies, but it would be nice just to see the venues. But isn't Universe?
You know, I was in that venue. That venue used to be, well, it's now still the world's biggest club. It used to be called Privilege.
Privilege, and right? That's what it was.
Manumission Mondays, which is like there was like a pool in the middle of the fucking dance floor. People like you know jumping off like well, only if you're like if you work there, you can jump off like you know the stage performers and shit like into the pool and shit like that. Like you can't be like a normal guy.
I heard,
but they will cover that up too, like with like.
I don't think it's there anymore now.
No, it's not there. It's fucking safety hazard. They the fucking pool. Yeah. What the fuck's wrong with
they that? They redid that entire thing.
No, but I was there. I went there twice. I went to you know Manumission. I went to Privilege. I went to Amnesia Cream parties and Amnesia, which was like Paul Van Dyk, Tiesto, and Mauro Picotto, like in all in one night. And then I went to Judgment Sundays at Eden, and then I went to Space, and that's when I first saw Sasha for the first time. That was fucking crazy. I didn't even know he was playing. I just walked in. I told you this before. I walked into the booth like I owned the place. I'm like, how did I just walk in here? Like, and there's like Sasha there. Like, oh, hey. That was fucking crazy.
Yeah, but everybody also talks about Cafe Mambo.
Yeah, or Cafe Mambo, Cafe Lamar.
Yeah.
Those are really cool.
Because they're right there on the
They're
kind of
touristy but now, but it's still good. You just watch the sunset. The sunset's amazing. And they put the ambient music in the background. You know? That's amazing. Like a little I wish I could do that, man. Like a sunset set.
Yeah.
Play some chill tunes, chill out tunes. I have some chill records. Hell, I have I think I have a Cafe Lamar chill out record. Actually, yeah. I have amazing. Remember Agnelli and Nelson? Every day.
Okay.
Do you remember that record?
Yeah.
They had a big hit, and it was filmed in Ibiza and shit, with a big vocal hit. I have an ambient version of that shit. It's like a B-side of the fucking record. It's pretty amazing.
That is awesome. Well, cool. So we talked about Joel Radio, and then you're at Space. Anything cool that you can plug coming up? Other than that?
Oh, I'm opening up for Darude, remember?
Well, I don't know if you could talk about that.
So. Yeah. It's been on the tape for 6 months now. They told me about it. And they posted about it right away. I was like, God, this is 6 months away. I'm like, I'm not even going to remember to be there. I'm going to forget about this shit.
Nice. Opening up for Darude.
All right. So since it's going to be Darude's 25 year
anniversary. I saw him. He came here a few months ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Anniversary of Sandstorm. So he's going to be sandstorming it the fuck out. And I'm going to be celebrating 25 years of DJing. So I'm going to be opening up. I think it's a 2 hour set, 2.5 hour. And then I'm going to be doing a nice 25 years of DJing set.
Nice.
So it's going to be fun. It's going to be it's not going to be in the terrace. It's going to be in the second main room, the ground. So in the warehouse room, and that's
for the people listening.
Yeah, it's gonna be August 15th, Friday. Get your tickets.
Friday, August 15th. Get your tickets.
It's gonna sell out.
You will get your tickets if you're listening.
You know, Darude, and it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be. I'm sure it's gonna be the old crowd, the older crowd mixing with the new crowd, and because awesome. Sandstorm is it's almost like a meme now.
But everybody loves it. Still.
Yeah. It's it still gets played in TikTok videos and shit. Like,
yeah. Still
it's crazy. It's still.
Yeah.
Something there. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, so awesome.
I think the young kids are going to be there, the older kids. So I'm going to have to play accordingly, for the new heads and then the old heads.
Awesome.
The old geezers like me.
All right. Yeah. Well, thanks for joining me again on the podcast. And everybody for listening out there, and check out part one when he was on a couple years ago, and then listen to this. And thanks for coming back to watch the podcast.
Bye.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business, like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.